Hi, I'm Joe Heath.
I'm Tony Heath.
And this is the Watchathon of Rassilon.
Bonk.
Talking about the fifth serial of the fourth season, The Underwater Menace.
Oh no.
Which consists of four episodes that aired from January 14th, 1967 to February 4th, 1967. Two of them are missing, the first and the last, and two of them exist, the middle two.
Which is the first really existing episodes we've seen of two.
Yeah, we've seen clips, but this is the first time we've seen an entire episode.
Spoilers, but it's delightful.
True facts!
Today we have with us special guest, no one. We have no special guests today.
Can it be me?
Yeah, you're the special guest.
All right, that means you have to do all the work.
Don't I always? All right, I'm getting my notes. That's the sound of me getting my notes.
We're doing this?
I guess we're doing this.
Are we starting now?
Let's catch the listeners up on what's been going on lately. Tony just had her birthday, and she got lots of small things, and it was fun.
I don't think the listeners care.
You also got a Doctor Who t-shirt.
That's good. I'm glad we did this.
Joe, that's me, got labyrinthitis, which is the most Jim Henson-sounding disease you can possibly have.
Literally, when you texted me and told me that's what the doctor told you, I thought you were making it up.
What it really means is that your inner ear is all fucked up and you get dizzy for like a few days. So I'm currently on some anti-dizziness medication. So
he is pretty spacey right now.
Which, we're talking about a show about space.
I knew you were going to do it. I knew you were.
It's cool to be spacey.
Ugh.
It's cool to be Kevin Spacey.
I'm only forgiving you for that because you're medicated.
I should be medicated all the time. Then I can get away with anything.
I can't wait for you to be better. Can we start the podcast?
Yeah, let's talk about it. Let's just dive right in. Dive right in to the underwater menace. Get it?
No.
The underwater menace. Dive right in. It's all
you're
underwater.
You're being worse now because you know you have the medication as an excuse.
What are you talking about?
Anyway,
I don't know what you're talking about.
The Underwater Menace.
Episode 1, Under the Sea.
So the TARDIS lands.
Well, before it lands,
Oh my god. Really? We're starting with this? Okay,
well, yeah,
no, you're right, Jamie. Because Jamie sees the inside of the TARDIS for the first time, really. We have him reacting to that. Because
we didn't get that in the last serial. They just get in and it disappears and that's it. We don't get to see.
And Jamie understandably is like, what's all this shit?
I have no clue what any of this is.
I don't know what electronics are.
I'm from the past. No, it's adorable.
It is very cute. But yeah, they're kind of like, well, it's a spaceship. And Jamie's like, all right. And also it travels in time. And Jamie's like, okay, so we've landed and we're going to go exploring.
And because this is an episode that does not exist, there is something that happened in this episode that I didn't know until I read about it on the TARDIS Wikia page. There's a scene where they're like saying like, I hope we land here, or I hope this happens. I hope we don't land with those Daleks. And the doctor's like,
well, they're all saying what they want. What is
that? That's the thing. They're not. It's their thoughts. Apparently, it was pre-recorded lines, and it was played as, like, their thoughts. So, you're hearing
what
they
was the doctor's, though?
Prehistoric.
Was it dinosaurs?
Yeah, it's basically dinosaurs.
It wasn't dinosaurs, but he said prehistoric animals, which I assume meant, like, woolly mammoth more than, like, dinosaurs.
Yeah,
I remember his being really cute. Oh, so it's their thoughts, and it's not things that they're saying?
According to this thing, in the opening TARDIS scene, Polyben and the doctor are each heard thinking about where they would like to land next in a rare example of internal monologue. This was achieved by pre-recording the actors' voices and playing them back during the making of the episode.
Yeah, that's not something that you catch.
Just when it doesn't exist.
I thought that scene was very cute. But they go out and they're on...
They're like next to a volcano.
Yeah. And there's all these cliffs. And basically, Jamie and Ben are like, we're going to climb that.
Oh, and when they start heading out, the doctor goes, wait! For me?
He's so ridiculous. He really, really, really is.
For no reason, just for giggles.
Just because he's like, you know, it'd be funny.
If I made him think there was some danger when there really wasn't, but guess what? Turns out there is, because it's Doctor Who.
Oh, and then we have the return of something that we haven't had in a while. Polly sees something.
Oh yeah, nobody believes her.
Wait, I think I saw someone moving. And Ben's like, no, why would you see something moving? We don't know anything about this planet, but clearly that's not possible.
Well, to be fair, this is an entirely new TARDIS team. They haven't had the history of being wrong about that yet.
I guess. I was like, oh, I didn't miss this. This hasn't happened in a while, but here it is again.
But yeah, like, Polly, Ben, and Jamie sort of go off to explore, and the Doctor just lays down and takes a nap.
This Doctor's so bizarre, and I enjoy it. Also, I identify with him a lot and his need to frequently take naps.
He doesn't quite do what you'd expect. It's great. But after Polly sees someone and then everyone's like, no, you're dumb.
We have a return of something else.
The cave!
And then of just taking things that don't belong to you because you found them.
It's just a good day for recurring gags.
Polly finds a bracelet and she deduces from the bracelet what time they're in. Is that right?
Yeah, what year it is.
What year is it?
Like roughly what year it is. It's something to do with the Olympics.
Oh, and they haven't happened yet. And so she's like, oh, the Olympics are this many years away. So they're like a little ways in their future.
She says like 1970, something like that. But then they go into the cave and they basically,
well,
they get
Polly
jumped,
is
right?
The only one who goes into the cave. Jamie and Ben keep climbing. And Polly's like, all right, I'm done. I'm going to go explore somewhere else. That's when she finds the bracelet.
And then these robed figures show up and like sort of capture her, take her away.
Ben immediately is like, my Polly senses are tingling. We've got to go rescue Polly.
And then they get captured, and they all get tied up. And then the Doctor shows up, and he also gets tied up, just because he felt left out. So they're in this like small room, and it starts going down. We're in an elevator, basically. They're going down and down and down.
Going so far down that they're going to pass out. Is it due to the pressure?
Pressure or air or something. I think it's pressure. But yeah, they pass out. They all wake up. In a nice shot. I mean, it's non-existing, but the photo looked cool.
It was a nice shot.
They're all, like, laid out in a row, and they start sort of going around. They bump into the guards, and they're speaking some foreign language, and they don't know what it is. Well, or they're trying to speak to him, and, like, Polly starts...
Ben says, why don't you try and talk to him? You speak foreign.
Yeah, you speak foreign. That's kind of terrible.
That's pretty bad. That's pretty bad, Ben. Just a language. You speak foreign. All of the languages that aren't English. But she tries out like four of them.
Yeah, none of them work. And then they say something back. And
well,
then...
you skip Jamie.
No, I was saying they say something back and Jamie's like, oh, I know what they're saying. That's Gaelic. And then he says something back. I thought he just tried Gaelic. No. They spoke and he's like, oh, I know what it is.
Oh, okay.
And I'm like, how do you know? And he's like, it's Gaelic. Which, there is no reason for this.
No. Except, other than to make Seamus very happy.
You'd think they would have that in the Highlanders. Okay, there's multiple reasons that this doesn't have any... Okay, from this point on, every character we meet from here on out speaks English.
That's true. I didn't really think about that, but yeah.
This is never brought up again. We don't have any more interactions with these guards. Two, and also, isn't the TARDIS supposed to translate all this?
I don't think has the TARDIS translation circuits been established firmly yet, though?
No, but I mean, we've had multiple instances where it has to have been working. Like, they went to prehistoric, like, cavemen that spoke English. The Aztecs. Every place they went has spoke English, except for now?
Maybe it's just on the fritz. Canon-wise, that's what I'm saying. It was broken for a little bit, and then it started working.
Or Gaelic's just so awesome that it doesn't translate. But anyway, they go into this, they're sort of taken to this room that's full of food, and the Doctor just, like, immediately starts eating.
Immediately is like, oh my god, this is great, this is excellent, try this. Like, digging into things, shoving it into his face, like, oh, this is so good, oh my god.
He's like, you guys gotta try this, this is amazing. And Polly's like, I've never seen him excited about food like this, usually it's hats.
Which is one of my favorite lines. It's one of those things that's, like, true,
that's still true
throughout all of Doctor Who. The Doctor has always been a fan of a good hat.
And food, really. But actually, he kind of flip-flops on food sometimes.
Like sometimes that's true. He'll regenerate, and suddenly he doesn't like the same food anymore.
They're going to do this ceremony. And guess what? They're the sacrifices. I guess they're just going to throw him in the volcano.
There is also the scene establishes the servant girl, whose name is Era,
Era,
I think?
Yeah.
who the other guy who's there is being a dick to her for no good reason. I don't know what the doctor does, but it's like, no, she did fine. Leave her alone. So now she's like best friends with them forever now.
Like pretty much immediately.
Yeah.
Very little generosity showed towards her era is immediately the doctor's.
I mean, she does a lot of things that puts herself in danger. But yeah, they are getting prepped to be sacrificed because that's, you know, that's what you do when you new people come into your town.
And like, I guess, no, they weren't going to be thrown into a volcano. They're going to be fed to sharks.
I think they were sharks.
Yeah, they're like sharks. Okay, I don't quite.
What do you understand?
We're at a volcano, and you're doing sacrifices, and you're sacrificing them to sharks.
Well, but they're underwater, though. They have to go all the way, take the elevator all the way up, then throw. And plus, I don't know if the volcano is active.
Then why have a volcano?
That's a valid question. You think to reestablish the fact that the Earth's core is molten?
Do you think maybe it was like they had an early script that was like, they get thrown in the volcano, like, nah, it's too expensive. We have stock footage of sharks. All right, make it sharks.
That sounds plausible.
We can fake, like, a thing of water beneath them.
The doctor, by the way, who has eaten this food, knows somehow.
Oh, right. Because he's like, this food is
so good, it has to be made by this one guy.
Dr. Zaroff, who is our villain, our baddie of this cereal.
Who he totally knows. Because he's famous in seafood science. Which the doctor is really fond of.
He invented the seafood diet. When he sees seafood, he has to eat the seafood.
Okay.
Right?
Anyway.
Another thing is that Zaroff's responsible for this food. Yet later, I mean, is it just the way he prepares the food? Because later it's sort of said that the food is primarily due to these other creature people.
No,
things.
I think I like know. He like sciences them up so that they're good.
Right on. So the doctor writes this note for Zaroff. Like, take this to Zaroff.
The fish people just harvest it. But he's the one who like. Make sure that it's, like, there's enough of it and all that good stuff. And it tastes really good.
We'll get more into about the food, because there's some weird shit that happens with the food.
Yeah, they're going to sacrifice everybody. There's four platforms, and they're just slowly tilting into the stock footage of Shark's tank, like, ever so slowly. And, like, the doctor's like, just hang on to the platform, it'll be fine.
And meanwhile, I think Era is delivering this note that the doctor wrote to Zaroff. And Zaroff gets the note, and
it just says, "And have a really good secret."
Basically, and then it's signed Dr. W.
I love it. It makes you so mad. Joe's name's Doctor Who. That's his name as a character in canon.
Nope.
It is.
No.
It is.
No.
His first name Doctor, last name Who.
The Doctor Who. What do they call him? The Doctor.
Yeah, the Doctor Who.
You know, I don't call you the Tony.
You could, though.
I don't, because it's stupid.
I mean, I don't have a cool title before my name.
As your name, you mean?
Yeah, if, like my first name.
No one does. Name one person named Doctor.
Doctor Who. The character Doctor Who from the TV show Doctor Who.
I'm too medicated for this shit right now.
So...
Zaroff gets the note.
Yes, he gets the note. He rushes in and is like, okay. Don't kill that guy for a second.
I want to know what...
I want to know what he knows. By the way, the people who are, like, there doing the sacrifice are like, whoa, you can't interrupt our shit. We know, like, you're an important scientist, but this is, like, our religious shit. Get out of here.
So I was like, well, fuck you. I still gotta do this.
Yeah, he still stops him anyway and lets the doctor out. And he's like, all right, tell me your secret. And the doctor's like, I can't tell you my secret till you let all my friends go, too. So...
Like, all right, let them go. And then he's like, all right, what's your secret? And he's like...
I don't have one.
I don't know, I was just bluffing.
I just didn't want to die, so I lied.
And Zaroff thinks this is hilarious. And he's like, all right, that's fine.
I thought he was pissed.
No, remember he, like, laughs. He's like, that's hilarious.
He wasn't pissed at least for a little bit, though?
Like, I think he... Because
he was like... You know, I could, like, have you shot now. Like, why would you do that? And then he laughs.
But Ben and Jamie are sent to work in the mine.
And Polly is sent
to check out. Oh, yeah. Polly is sent to... And then they're telling her about these underwater farmers. They're people that have been turned into fish, basically. And they harvest all the food. And it's, like, a pretty steady job because they say the food... basically expires within, like, an hour.
Right. if you don't eat it, it goes bad. So you can't store it at all.
Like, okay, my thing about that is, like, if you eat it, does it go bad inside of you?
No.
That would be weird.
It just doesn't have a very long shelf life.
An hour, apparently. That's a ridiculously short length. That's too short. Like, you'd be constantly farming.
Well, yeah, but that's why they have slaves that do it. They have fish slaves.
And then Polly's like, that's cool, why am I here? And they're like, oh, we're turning you into a fish.
She, like, is, like, really, like, they're explaining it to her, and they're like, we have these fish people, and they harvest this, and she's like, wow, that's really great! You've got, like, a nice little setup here! And the guy explaining it to her is like, yeah, most people aren't so excited about it when they realize that we're gonna turn them into fish people. She's like, what? Oh.
It was fine when it wasn't happening to me.
Now I'm not happy at all.
And then we learn what Zaroff is here to do.
I think this is also around the time that the doctor's like, oh, we're in Atlantis, right? Yeah, we're in Atlantis.
This is Atlantis, sure.
I don't understand a lot of interpretations of Atlantis.
This doesn't entirely make sense for it being Atlantis because it's underground, really, not, like, under the sea, really. And it's under an island.
Like, it's set up to... That's the thing that gets me about Atlantis. Is like, a lot of times it's, like, it's set up... Everything that's there is set up to exist underwater. It's, like, fish motifs and stuff, and it's, like... But we really hate being underwater. And it's, like, why? Just stay there. You got, like, a good thing going on down there. It's cool. Be Atlantis. Be underwater.
But, he's basically been charged to lift Atlantis to the surface.
They have hundreds of fish people to make their food for them, but they want to be on the land.
His explanation for how he's going to do it is explained in the next episode, which I think would be a much better cliffhanger. But the cliffhanger for this episode is Polly's going to get turned into a fish. It goes back to that, and that's the cliffhanger.
I was saying that, I was like, if all, because the way he explains it is like, oh, well, we have to give you gills so you can breathe underwater. And I'm like, man, if that was it, that they were going to give me gills, and like, if they show the fish people later, they can exist just fine outside of the water. They just also have gills. I'd be like, all right, cool. Sign me up. That sounds awesome. But I guess you also get like big old round fish eyes and a scaly face. So I'd be less gung-ho about that.
Wow. But it's all about the looks for you, huh?
I just would really want gills. What I'm saying is, what's the name of that guy? Is it Adam? Who gets the computer in his forehead and gets thrown off the TARDIS? That'd probably be me. I'm not going to be like, what the fuck? Why do you... I leave you alone for 5 minutes and you have gills now. And I'm like, I know, it's awesome, right? I'm going to go swimming forever. Bye.
You could probably make that work, too. Like, I don't think... If you did what Adam did, Doctor wouldn't be mad at you because you happen to be a lady. He seems to be more tolerant of ladies.
Well, it's also that, like, he did it for his own gain. But yeah, the fact that, like...
In the very next episode, Rose
does something really just as stupid.
Destroys the universe so she can...
See her dad.
See her dad. And touches her baby self, you know? Which then, again, doesn't really... Later does...
Because we'll never make that...
People...
Sounds like that again.
Yeah, people touch their younger selves all the time, which sounds... terrible the way I said it, but they do. Like, there's an emotional hug in a future episode, the Christmas Carol episode, that works very, very well, but would not work under those same rules.
I feel like everyone was just like, none of the rules that are established here count. But what I'm saying is, I would probably put a computer in my forehead and get gills.
Yes.
Because that sounds awesome.
Anyway, back to the underwater menace.
That's the spoiler. I mean, that's the spoiler. That's the cliffhanger.
The cliffhanger. Yeah. Polly's gonna be fished. So that's the end of episode one, Under the Sea, and we're now into episode two, A Fishy Plot.
The doctor's basically like, hey, I'm glad you didn't kill me because I'm a scientist. Zaroff is like, cool, let me show you all my toys.
Takes him around the lab while the doctor steals shit. He steals some pliers or something.
He does sort of like fiddle with things too.
And then, like, the guy, Damon is his name. He's the dude with the very big eyebrows, right? He comes in.
I think they all have very big eyebrows.
He's got the biggest.
Right, but I think it's like an Atlantean thing. Damon. That they all have very intense eyebrows.
He's like mad because the sacrifice didn't go off, right?
Right. I think that's kind of his job. He's the guy who gets to sacrifice people.
Also, at some point, like, the doctor's, like, told Ara, hey, help Polly if you get a chance.
Right, if you can, rescue her. And also, the doctor, we said that he was, like, stealing stuff. He's also fiddling with lights. And not just lights, but I guess he's, like...
The power.
He's drawing a lot of power to the laboratory, and it's drawing it away from the, like, fish processing thing. Because Era tells the doctor where everybody went. He's like, yeah, they're gonna turn Polly into a fish. Jamie and Ben are working in the mines. And he's like, all right, see what you can do to make that not happen.
He's like, pulls a thing out of the thing. And he's just like, oh, oops. And puts his fingers to his lips like, me? What?
Did I didn't mean to do that.
Oopsie.
Yeah, literally like.
Oh, butter fingers.
They're looking at him like, what the hell? And he's like, I'm so clumsy. I bumped it and it came out in my hand. And I think it's Damon who's like, okay, yeah, bullshit. Quit touching things.
Power goes out where they're about to turn Polly into a fish. And Era's like, all right, cool. I'm getting you out of here. Let's bolt. And then they get everything back online, but Polly and Era have escaped.
Or Era takes Polly to a cave. Hey.
Surprise.
A cave with a big head in it.
Stone temple head.
Thing. Yeah, it's a temple, and the stone head is a
like
god.
Like a god, yeah. Now it is time for Xeroth to reveal how he plans on lifting Atlantis.
Are you ready for this fantastic and totally solid plan?
He's gonna drain the ocean. He's basically gonna, like, drill a hole in the thing, drain the ocean into the core of the Earth, and then that will cause pressure to build and push Atlantis back to the surface.
Is that even part of it, or is it just, like, when I drain away all the water, Atlantis will be on the top?
No, it was this pressure.
Okay.
And it'll lift it back up, and the doctor's like, that'll actually explode the Earth. And Xeroth's like,
I know.
Yeah, I know.
It'll be cool.
I don't care. Fuck Earth.
Literally, though, the thing that gets me about him is he's like, I feel like you should understand this as a scientist. This is about science. I want to explode the Earth because it would be the ultimate science. And the doctor's like, that's not science. I don't.
He's like, shh, I'm blowing up the world.
He's like, you don't understand. It's the ultimate science experiment to have complete and total destructive power over the Earth. And the doctor's like, okay, wow, I'm dealing with a lot here.
This is the most, like, stereotypical mad scientist villain we've had yet. No motivation other than blow up the Earth.
I will say, though, the actor who plays him does a delightful job of making it fun. Of just like, nah, I don't know. He just has fun with it. He's delightfully, sort of ridiculously evil.
I read an original script, he had, like, this motivation of, like, his wife and children died in a car crash or whatever, but that's bullshit. I just enjoy him being like, no, I want to blow up the Earth!
Was
no
it an
reason.
Original script, or was it extended universe?
I think it's an original script.
Oh, okay.
So, I don't know. But either way, that's boring. Let's just have this guy wants to blow up the Earth.
Let's just
for fun,
have someone
no
who wants to be evil because he's evil.
Why do you want to blow up the Earth? Because I can, by very, you know, strict scientific methods, draining the ocean into the core of the Earth. Sounds plausible.
I just want to know what's the obsession with the center of the Earth. Like, let's hollow out the center of the Earth.
Pilot it.
Put some rockets in there so we can pilot. Like, just leave the center of the Earth alone. It's there doing its thing.
Nobody ever goes to the center of the Earth. There's not a lot going on there. They're like, well, we can put stuff there. Ships, ship parts. So we can fly it, or just the ocean, so we can explode it.
Wasn't the center of the Earth already a ship, though?
What?
It's 10-story.
I don't remember that.
Yes, with the giant spider lady who laughed.
Oh, in the Rolling Bride?
Yes.
I don't remember. I don't recall.
They go back to, like, the beginning of the Earth, like, to the formation of the planet, and it's... I forget what those aliens are called. So that becomes the center of the planet. It's one of those ships. No? Don't remember?
I don't remember.
I'm 60% sure that that's what happens in that episode. Anyway, center of the Earth. Everyone's super obsessed with it.
Put some water in it. That's what this episode's about. Drown it. So then we see Jamie and Ben going to be miners, and they are like, there's these other two guys. They're going to teach you how to do things in the mine, but they're like a couple of slackers. You're sort of blue collar guys.
You're basic blue collar slaves.
Who are eventually going to, you know, they're going to rebel because there's always going to
Right, this is Doctor Who. We've already had rebellion. We've already had a cave, someone not believing someone about seeing something, so now it's time for a rebellion.
The Doctor, he does this really great thing where he's just like,
they're actually already planning, I think, an escape when Ben and Jamie get there.
And then they're like, Ben and Jamie are like, but we're smarter than you, so give it over to us, we'll get you out of here.
I don't think that happens.
Probably. I don't know.
You're just making shit up.
But the Doctor's talking to the guy. I think he's talking to Damon, man. I don't remember. But, like, he's, like, picking up vials and shit. Nobody's, like, looking at him. I don't know. He's just, like, mixing stuff. And he basically creates a smoke bomb and gets out.
This is the smoke bomb, right?
Yeah.
And he, like, hands it to the guy. And he's like, hey, have you ever seen this? And he hands it to the guy. And the guy's like, what? And smoke starts pouring out of it.
I think he just, like, drops it and it explodes. I think he shows it to him and drops it, and then, like, he's like, look at this. And then he drops it and it, like, blows up in his face.
I don't think it blows up. I think it's just smoke.
Well, I mean, not, like, explodes, but, like, smoke.
Right. Smoke starts pouring out of it. But, like,
the Doctor covers his face so he doesn't
breathe. But, yeah, he's just, like, very casually is like, hey, look at this. Poof. And, like, he sneaks out so delightfully. The Doctor finds Era. Era says, all right, Polly's safe. I've got her hidden where the Godhead cave is.
She's like hidden in a cupboard, right?
No, she's hidden in the cave.
Like, in a cupboard in the cave.
Oh, if you say so.
Yeah, because the priest is coming in.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. At this point, yeah. They're all in the cave, and then they all hide. One of the priests, his name is Ramo, is talking to Damon. They come in, and they're, like, sort of hiding, and they're overhearing this conversation between these two people. Ramo's basically like, I don't know about Zaroff.
He's stereotypically mad scientist.
Right. For some reason, I get the feeling like he might not be all there. While they're talking, Era comes up and is like, hey, I saw Polly. She went that way. The opposite way of where you guys are now. Please leave. Please get out of here. Damon leaves. And Ramo stays there. And the Doctor's like, okay, this guy doesn't really trust Zaroff. I think I can convince him that he's a bad guy. So when Damon leaves, the Doctor comes out and goes to talk to Ramo. Is it Ramo?
Sure.
All right.
The priest. I just call him the priest.
Okay, yeah, the priest.
And also, meanwhile, like, Ben, Jamie, and the two dudes, they're like, we need people to do things in the mine, blah, blah, blah. And they're like, we volunteer. And they're like, no, you're too new. I don't understand what happens in this scene at all, but somehow they escape. They sneak off into this little hideaway.
There's, like, this part, they're in the mines, right? And the mines are in these, like, caves. There's, like, a part of the mine that goes farther into, like, this cave, that connects to, like, this cave system where they're not supposed to be. And their whole plan is, like, we're basically going to explore that and see if we can get out.
Yeah, and they sneak away somehow. It's very not, I feel like it's not very clearly established how they sneaked away. They just sort of, hey, look over there. Whoop. Hey, are you still looking over there? Whoop, whoop, whoop. And they're all gone. Like, then it just cuts back to them randomly being like, should we go left or right? Oh, let's split up and then we'll meet back. And then later it's like, both of those ways led to here. We're fine.
That is essentially what happens, yeah.
It's a big, dumb, pointless thing.
It's not pointless. I mean, it is. It ends up being incredibly, ridiculously convenient where the cave that they're exploring ends up. That's pretty ridiculous. It is, like, you know, they cut back to it and it's like, I don't know, should we go back? Should we talk about our plan some more? It's that kind of scene. Where it's like, we're still walking. They're doing something.
Right.
You gotta give them that. Joe doesn't have to. Joe's like, I don't have to do anything.
And there's like and there's another thing where they just, like, Jamie falls off a cliff for no reason. And they pull him up.
That's not no reason.
I know, but it's very boring. It's like, they had to throw in some, like, shit so that this was at least mildly interesting. And it didn't work.
I wasn't as bothered by it as much as you were.
And it was very clearly him laying on the ground.
That is true.
Just the whole plot could have just been they get out. Like, nothing that happened in those, like, twists and turns was exciting. You knew they were going to get out at some point. Like, nothing really interesting happened.
You always know that.
I know, but, like, nothing, like, interesting happened in there. Mm. It was all generic and boring.
Okay, Mr. Grumpy. So, the Doctor, basically, he's got this... He's trying to explain
Zaroff's plan.
Because he, like, explains the plan, and the priest is like, yeah, we know. He's going to drain all the water into the core. And, like, the Doctor's like, okay, but that's bad. And the priest is like, why? We got to get Atlantis to the top. That's what it's going to do. And he's like, okay, please understand. It will also blow up the world. And the priest is like, I don't follow. And so the Doctor takes, I guess it's like a ceramic jug. He fills it full of water and puts it over what I assume is like a fire.
Like a stove thing.
Yeah. and, like, covers it and just lets it heats up until the thing bursts. And he's like, that is the Earth.
It exploded a little more than it probably would
have. Oh, my God, normally. You're right. It explodes with a fireball. Oh, yeah. Like, there were clearly some explosives in it. It was much more intense than was probably really necessary.
It's going to get that point across to the viewers at home.
The Earth is going to explode, for real.
Because the Earth is this jug.
Yeah, it convinces the priest, and he's like, okay, what I'm gonna do is I'm going to talk to the, you know, supreme leader guy.
We're gonna get you in a costume so you look like one of us. We're gonna sneak you into this meeting.
You should see how excited the doctor is when he gets handed the, like, hat for the costume. His eyes light up and he just giggles and he's like, ah, yes, a hat. He's so pleased that he gets to wear a costume. He's only like a couple episodes into two. How many times has he been in disguise?
3, 4, or something like that.
He loves being in disguise.
Two different disguises in this episode.
It's his favorite. Or cereal. It brings him total joy to wear disguises.
I think they were going to do it more often than they wind up doing because they wanted that to be a trait of the second Doctor to sort of distinguish him from one. But they sort of like...
Costumes are expensive.
Yeah, they sort of pull back on it a little bit, I believe. But right now, I'm enjoying it.
Oh, it's awesome. He's just so happy. But yeah, he's going to dress him up. And like, because the priests have these like...
ceremonial garb things. Yeah. Like big hats.
And that's how they're going to make... Because everyone's looking for Polly and the Doctor.
And then we see where the cave that Ben and Jamie and the two other dudes... I don't know their names. Where that eventually leads to. And conveniently, it's right behind that giant stone head. It exits into the temple.
Although I don't think they've gotten there quite yet. By the time they get to the temple, the Doctor...
Oh yeah, the Doctor and them are all gone.
They're all gone.
So it's just, they just pop out into the empty temple at this point. Yeah. They exit, but then they bump into Polly when they exit, actually.
Yes.
Because Polly's been hiding out in the temple. And so Ben, Jamie, and the two guys reunite with Polly. Reunited, and it feels so good. And then we get to the meeting where they're meeting up with the head honcho guy, the leader or whatever, and the priest is all like, sorry I deceived you. This dude's just dressed up in our religious garb. Probably kind of offensive, to be honest. Maybe a little bit racist. But it's for a good reason. He has some shit to tell you about this jug. I don't quite understand it, but it's bad.
That is basically, he's like, I feel like I have to tell you this. You don't really have a handle on, like, the science here. You just have a feeling like he's right, and it's probably really bad. And the Supreme Leader's like, all right, I'll listen to you. He listens. And then basically he's like, okay, I've made up my decision about what I'm going to do with you, about whether or not I'm going to believe you or turn you over. He's like, guess what? My answer's behind you! And they turn around and Zaroff is there and they're like, what? No! That's basically the cliffhanger. I think the only thing we didn't say was that everyone's in that temple. Somebody's coming into it. And so everyone ends up hiding in that secret compartment again. Except for Era, who's like, hey, I'm going to tell whoever is coming in here to leave.
But yeah, it's Zaroff is there. Dum dum dum. That's the end of episode 2, A Fishy Plot. And we are now into episode 3, The Sewer Urchin.
That's one of my favorite superheroes.
Well, he's in this episode. There's a guy that looks an awful lot like the Sewer Urchin.
He really does.
I don't remember who he is. He's like a guard or something, but he looks an awful lot like the Sewer Urchin.
But Zaroff is like, all right, I'm taking both of you guys. And the doctor's like, the priest didn't have anything to do with anything. He's okay, leave him alone. I just convinced him to, like, help me, but he doesn't really understand anything I'm talking about anyway. You should just leave him alone. But the priest is like, actually, you know what? I don't care for Zaroff, and I'm going to tell him that to his face. You're sketchy as hell, and I'm not even going to pretend that I don't like you. The doctor and the priest are led away, and they're going to be fed to sharks, but for real this time.
No, 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 they're going to be not fed to sharks, to the stone idol thing.
Oh, okay. No, I suppose you're right.
Because sharks don't show up ever again. Case of the forgotten sharks. Because they're taken to the stone temple thing in a ceremony, and the stone head starts talking to them, and they're just like, oh, okay.
Before they get, like, they get led away, and, like, the Supreme Leader is like, so, they're talking about how you want to blow up the Earth, and Zaroff's like, no, that'd be stupid. No. It's like, alright, I'm just asking, like, because I gotta ask. You're not going to blow up the Earth. No! Alright, okay then. Good. Like, that's the conversation that they have.
They get taken to the Stonehead. The Stonehead starts talking. And is like,
the Stonehead where everybody's hiding behind the secret compartment next to the Stonehead.
And even the doctor's like, that voice sounds hella familiar. The head's like, bow down before me, everybody! And they do, and the doctor and the priest sneak behind the Stonehead. And then everybody's like, oh shit, the Stonehead ate them! Straight up ate their ass!
No.
Oh, wait, oh, maybe not that.
No, not that.
But, like, they believe that the Stonehead ate them. The Atlanteans are gullible as fuck. But it's really Ben and Polly and Jamie all behind the stone idol, like, talking through it. Because apparently that's been used before.
That is how Xeroth kind of established himself, I believe.
So, but they...
Because he has some little monologue about, like, the doctor's like, I didn't take you, you know, for like a religious, superstitious man. And he's like, I just convinced these people that, like,
I'm totes the scientist for their god.
Just basically, so that I could use their resources. His backstory is so weird. Is it from something? Is it pulling from something else? Because, like, the doctor's like, yeah, I've heard of him. He's this famous fish scientist. And, like, he went missing. And no one knew who did it. And you've been living in Atlantis this whole time. Like, that's such a weird, established backstory that's not...
No, I don't think it's pulled from anything. Because, I mean, this takes place in, like, 1970. So this is, like, in the future for them, anyway.
It's just very weird to have, like, this pre-established stuff that's, like, why?
I don't think a whole lot of thought went into the writing of this.
I don't know.
Especially considering they didn't like, or I was reading, they didn't like the scripts for this. Junked it, was going to get another script to replace it. Then it didn't really get together in time. So they're like, fuck, we'll just do this serial instead. And, like, they were doing it, like, the week before it aired.
Oh,
like,
really?
Yeah.
That sounds so stressful. Rough. The more I hear about, like, production of, like, Classic Who, I just want to be like, camera people and producers and, like, people on the ground of just, like, you did so good. You did so well with what you had. I'm very proud of you. Because that's sounds so stressful.
Then, like, the head of the ceremonies guy, this, like, Zero Mostel looking motherfucker, just, like, goes to brag to the head honcho and Xeroth, yeah, that ceremony went really well. Like, the stone god ate them all. Isn't that great? That's pretty great. And Xeroth is like, the fuck? No! It's not great!
They escaped!
They escaped, you dumbass! Your gods aren't real. I mean, your gods aren't real. It's hard to come up with a lie. He's just really pissed and knows that they're out and about. Meanwhile, Team TARDIS is trying to come up with a plan, and their best plan is, let's start a fish people uprising. Let's take their food from them, because there's been this really weirdly set up thing about how their food only lasts for a goddamn hour.
So, yeah, the fish people are the ones who harvest the food, and they're like, let's talk to the fish people. We'll say, hey, just stop harvesting food for them. And they can't store any of it. So, you know, they'll be hungry and they'll be easier to fight.
Very convenient that their food only lasts for a goddamn hour.
So angry.
An hour. I don't know of any food that lasts for 1 hour.
Have you ever left shrimp out?
If I left shrimp out for like an hour, I'd still probably be like, that shrimp's probably okay. That shrimp buffets.
No, they're over ice.
They don't have ice in fucking Atlantis? They can turn people into fucking fish. They can't build a goddamn refrigerator?
The point is...
The point is this makes no goddamn sense is the point of this. Very mad. Anyway, they're going to start a fish people uprising.
And I love the fish people, by the way. I like their costume design. I don't know if you have any opinions on it. Your face says that you do.
Oh, no, they look all right. Apparently the second doctor didn't care for them. Patrick Troughton didn't care for the design.
Really?
Yeah, like, there's a weird fish makeup. I don't know. I liked it.
I thought it was cool. Maybe because I just really want to be a fish person really bad. I'm still all for it. But no, I like the scene where they're, like, talking to the fish people. And it's weird because the fish people don't really talk either.
The two minor guys, minor characters, they're the ones that are, like, talking to the fish. I don't know, their methods were weird. Because they're like, you're just a bunch of fucking losers, huh? Losers?
Yeah.
Losers.
They're making fun of the fish. Like, if I had a fish face, I'd probably just kill myself. And maybe it wasn't that bad. I maybe shouldn't say stuff like that.
Maybe you don't want to be losers and want to help us out. Okay, cool.
Like, uprising, it's somehow successful. That works.
Like, they start throwing shit at him.
They're throwing rocks at him because he's being a dick.
He's like, all right, I was just fucking with you. But really, you guys want to help us out? Yeah? Cool. What? I don't understand the scene. Your methods are very bizarre, but effective.
I think it's supposed to be like, you know, when you like piss someone off so that they're like, yeah, I'll do whatever because I'm pissed. I think that was the idea. Which I never understood when it was when it's done in any movie.
I just realized we're jumping way ahead, but that's fine.
Oh, are we?
Yeah, because they just talk about it. Because before all that happens, they've decided they're going to try and kidnap Zaroff as well. So, like, Ben, Polly, and Jamie are going to try to kidnap Zaroff while they go to talk to the fish people. And then we get the doctor's second disguise. They're at this marketplace, and, like, the doctor's, like, some street merchant with, like, playing his recorder, right? Or some musical instrument. I don't even remember. But he's dressed up like...
It's gotta be his recorder.
Yeah. He's dressed up like a street merchant, basically. And there's this whole big to-do where they're just like... They hide Polly in a carpet. I remember that. And they're stabbing the carpet with their swords. And the carpet lady's like, hey, those are my carpets!
You can't be stabbing my merchandise. How am I supposed to sell it with holes in it?
And then, like, they basically cause, like, this whole, like, back-and-forth, very comical thing of trying to lead Zaroff to where they want him. And Ben and Jamie are also in disguise as the guards. Basically bouncing around, and, like, the guards are like, they went this way, they went that way. Just leading Zaroff where they want him to go. They're basically gonna trap him. That's what happened. They lead Zaroff to a trap. So, yeah, they convince the fish, let's uprise.
They trap him, by the way, in the temple.
Yeah, in the temple. And then we get them, hey, you fish losers, join our army. And they're like, cool, okay. And then we get this long montage, which is them like, we're going to do some cool experimental shit and show the fish, like, telling the other fish people.
They're swimming, you guys. They're underwater. And one fish swims to the other fish. And it looks like they're swimming and they're not.
They're on wires.
They're on wires. But it looks really cool. On one hand, it looks really, really cool. On the other hand, they are moving painfully slowly. They're doing that so that they can get those, like, underwater movement feeling. And it's super effective. On the other hand, you're like, oh, God. Please, just shout or something.
Move.
Get over there.
We understand what's happening in this scene. It does not need to take 10 fucking minutes.
But at the same time, it was very cool. It did look like they were underwater.
Though apparently, if you look close enough, you can see the wires.
Well, sure, if you want to spoil everything.
But yeah,
if you want to have no fun ever.
The set design was really cool too, but like I said, takes way too long to do this thing. But anyway,
it's still very impressive.
Yeah, they get to the thing, they've got Zaroff, the fisher are, you know, getting primed and ready.
Does Zaroff get shot?
Zaroff has a heart attack.
He has a heart attack?
He has a heart attack.
Wait, really?
Yeah. He fakes a heart attack. Because they're like, you're bad and shit. You're not going to do what you're going to do. And he's like, fuck you guys. And then and anger has a heart attack or whatever. And then the ceremony's starting, another ceremony. And they're like, well, we got to go out there and fake that or whatever, right? Something like that.
The doctor takes Ben and Jamie to the lab so that they can, like, see how, like, where Zaroff is and how, if they can stop him, basically.
Right. Makes it like it's not.
Because Zaroff's like, you can't stop it anyway.
It's already in progress.
It's already in motion. And the doctor's like, all right, well, we'll go see about that. Polly and the priest stay behind to guard Zaroff. A service is going on in the temple.
Zaroff, like, starts being like, oh, I need help or whatever. And Polly's like, you know what? He probably does. Damn it, Polly. I like you. Don't pull a Ben.
Stop.
But then the priest is like, all right, I'll go check him out. And then he goes to check him out, and Zaroff just chokes the shit out of the dude. They get into this fight, and he throws the priest down and stabs him with the spear. Straight up stabs him with it. Polly runs off.
He, like, left off the best part, which is how he tricks the priest into getting close to him in the first place.
Which is?
He's like, you know, you're right. You're like, your God is real and I'm dying. Can you pray to your God for me? And then he's like, can you help me stand up so that I can stand next to you? So that I can, like, absorb some of your goodness, maybe, so that'll help me before I die. And that is what Polly is like. Yeah, yeah, he needs our help. We should help him. And they're like, okay, yes. We'll help you stand next to me so that you can absorb some of my pureness to help your evil, evil soul. That's in no way a trap or a trick.
So much of this feels like first draft shit. The food lasts an hour. I don't know. That way they can have their food supply taken away. He wants him to pray with him? I don't know. He gotta kill him somehow. There's gotta be some reason he gets close. We'll just write that in for now.
But yeah, so that's how he tricks them into getting close enough to choke him, and then all that
then
stuff
proceeds
happens.
To stab, like, he stabs the spear in him, and you see the spear just sticking straight up. You don't see it, like, going to his body, but, like, he stabs him, and he lets go of the spear, and it's just standing up.
Blech.
They haven't gone to the lab quite yet because they've hidden behind the stone temple because the ceremony's starting. Ben, Jamie, and the doctor. The ceremony's done and they sort of pop up with the fish masks over their face.
That was so cute. Because, yeah, they want to, like, check and make sure that it's done before they leave. And so they have the fish masks and the two of them just sort of pop up over the thing. And it's adorable.
Well, that happens. The priest stumbles out all stabbed and shit. And then he's like, I am dead.
Boof. That's the sound you make when you die. You go, boof.
Then they're like, oh shit, well, Zaroff's out, we need to rush to the lab, and they all start running off, and then everybody's like, I ain't got no food, what's happening? It, like, immediately is a problem, because again, the food lasts a goddamn hour!
Still, though, I could go, like, 5 hours without eating.
The head honcho's like, what do we do? What do we do? Zaroff shows up and shoots him. Shoots the head honcho. He's like, ha 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 ha, I'm evil.
He literally laughs. He gives a good evil laugh.
And then that's the cliffhanger.
That's the thing that I don't understand about this, though, is that he has henchmen. I don't understand why, like, his henchmen are so loyal to him. Like, at the time where you're, like, assassinating, like, the supreme leader of a society, I feel like a couple of henchmen are like, whoa, hey, I don't know if I want to be, I'm not with this guy. But that's not the case. They just are like, yeah, all right, cool. We just killed the supreme leader. I guess he's in charge now. Okay. Because his henchmen are just regular Atlantis people, right?
I think so, yeah.
He gives a really good evil laugh. Not like that.
He has, like, a very, it's his actual accent, but it's also very stereotypically mad scientist-y, sort of German or whatever. Anyway, that's the end of episode 3, which I forgot the name of. I've been making these up as I go along. We're now into episode 4.
Fish?
Fish.
Fish tail?
Episode 4, Flash Flood.
The Doctor and Ben come across, like, all of the bodies that Zaroff is, like, leaving in his wake. Because he's killed more people than just the Supreme Leader, I think.
Well, I mean, he stabbed the priest, and then he shot the head honcho.
And they decide to take the head honcho guy back to the temple, his body there, for some reason?
Yeah, alright. And the Doctor has this plan of flooding the place.
Right.
Why exactly? I don't remember. His plan is to flood Atlantis so that they can't do... Zaroff can't do the shit he wants to do.
I mean, that is essentially the plan.
Right.
They'll mess up all his equipment and stuff.
Yeah, but what about the people that live there?
A lot of them die.
Some of them do, yeah.
Like a lot of them.
Well, yeah, I think it's heavily implied that a lot of them escape.
Yes.
Like they're escaping.
But it is also straight up said that a good chunk of people die. Because they drown.
Like, he almost kills Jamie and Polly, too. Because for some reason, they're going around. They're underneath the lab as sabotage shit's happening. At this point, I gotta admit, there's a lot going on, and it doesn't exist.
What are you confused about?
I don't remember the order of things. But, like, a lot of shit starts going down kind of quickly.
The Doctor is going to flood the place, and he tells the miners to go and get as many people out as they can. Zaroff hears that the workers are leaving their post because they don't have any food. Which isn't true. They're leaving because they know that the place is about to flood.
And then the Doctor sneaks into where, like, Zaroff's shit is and stuff. Like, Ben pretends to be a guard and the Doctor is his...
Is his prisoner. And which, like, there's this scene! He asks for the password and Ben's like...
Ugh. I don't know the fucking password. I've been about doing shit. Can't keep up with this shit. And he's like, alright, fine. Go on in. He's like, the password is like 6 or whatever, by the way. He's like, alright, thanks. And then he goes up to the next guard, and the guard's like, password? And he's like, 6!
Which, ridiculous. Don't have a password if you're going to just give it out to people who don't know it.
Oh, wait, they're not going to Zaroff's lab. They're going to, like, the power station.
Thing, yes, yes, yes.
So they can start the flood.
They go in, they...
cause a reactor to overload.
So Jamie and Polly are, like, lost in the caves at this point.
They're basically underneath Zaroff's lab.
But why are they there?
I don't remember.
Zaroff took Polly.
Oh, he took Polly, okay.
Zaroff took Polly when he
stabbed the priest.
When he stabbed the priest. And he was taking Polly deep into the caves, I think in an attempt to get back up to his lab. And so, yeah, Jamie
Jamie goes off to find Polly.
Yeah, when they run back, they like find the bodies. They're like, oh, he escaped. Jamie runs off to find Polly.
He sounds like a more of a Ben thing to do when you think about it, but yeah.
It does, doesn't it? But no, Jamie does. He finds Polly. Jamie and Zeroff fight. And then the two miners come in and also fight Zeroff. And Zeroff runs away, basically. So Jamie and Polly are in the caves trying to find their way out because they know the place is about to get flooded. So that was the deal with Jamie and Polly.
So yeah, so Jamie and Polly are trying to find their way out. They're kind of lost. They basically kind of wind up underneath the lab somehow. They see like the walls of the cave glowing due to radiation, which is what the doctor and Ben have started, the reactor overloading, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
They see the radiation and the walls sort of fall apart and water starts to flood, and then they have to get out, basically. The temple gets destroyed by the flood.
We have a really interesting scene here, too.
The Zero Mostel character gets drowned. That's one of the ones that died due to the drowning.
Who?
The guy that was like, was bragging about how great it was.
Oh, yeah, he drowns.
His name is Lollum. I call him Zero Mostel because he looks like Zero Mostel.
I don't know what that means. But so there's a confrontation between the doctor and Zeroff.
Zeroff is like pissed because of all this shit that's happening. So he's like, I'm going to start my, you know, explode the earth plot.
Now.
It's going to start now. And then...
Which, like, more and more, Zeroff is kind of, like, taking over control, and he's, like, throughout this whole episode, he's been taking over control, because they've been like, hey, we don't have any food. He's like, well, they can work without food, and just getting more and more intense about his plan, basically.
While people are basically dropping off, left and right.
Right.
And the doctor enters and tells the people that are working with Zeroff, like, he's going to blow up the Earth.
This is his henchmen, the tech people that he have, that will just commit, like, murder of the, like, supreme leader. He's like, you don't understand! It's gonna blow up the Earth, and I'm flooding the facility, so you might want to get out. And this is kind of the point where they're like, oh, okay. All right, we're leaving. Now's probably a good time to get out.
And Zeroff's like, fuck you guys, and locks himself inside the laboratory. Just like, like gate comes down. And he's locked in the lab, and the doctor and Ben can't get to him. And they're just like sort of stuck there. And then they're like, well, we gotta figure out something. They're sort of just goofing around. The doctor cuts off the lights in Zeroff's lab. So Zeroff comes out of the lab to switch the lights back on, and then...
Because that's where the light switch is.
Which makes so much sense. While he's doing that, Ben goes and locks, pulls the gate back down, and, you know, barely gets out as the gate's coming down, so nobody can get in the lab. Because, like, once
it's not just that no one can get in the lab. Zeroff's locked somewhere, right?
No, he's locked out of the... He wants to get in the lab, because there's a button a big everything's go button you have to press to start
right,
the thing.
He's...
No, he's not locked in anywhere. He just can't get back in his lab where the button is. He's not locked in anywhere.
But he's stuck somewhere, because...
No, he's not.
Yeah, because they go to leave, and the doctor's like, well, we can't just leave him in here. I'm like, I'm starting to feel really bad about it. We should go save him.
Oh, right, and they go back with, like the cave fell in.
Yeah.
But, like, he's not initially trapped. He's just trying to get back in his lab, because the button, there's a big button you gotta press once the countdown ends, because, like, countdown to blow up the Earth thing, then you press a button. And then the Earth blows up. But, like, the countdown's going on, and he can't get in there to press the button. He's, like, trying to reach through the gate. But, yeah, the doctor and Ben escape, but the doctor wants to go back, but it's the way it's blocked off.
Because, like, yeah, they basically, they trap him in there somehow, outside of the lab, but trapped.
Well, not on purpose, though, is what I mean. Because, like, the doctor wants to go back and save him, but due to the flooding.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
They caves in.
No, he's trapped and they leave. And the doctor's like, I've been thinking about it. We can't just leave him there.
They don't trap him in the room, though. I don't know why you're saying that they trap him. They lock him out of the lab. That's all they do.
And then they see
him trying to, like, reach in. And they're like, this place is going to flood soon. We should go. The doctor's like, this place is going to flood. We can't just leave him there. I'm going to go back and get him. And he goes back to go get him, but he's blocked because it's caved in.
I thought he was locked into a place. He's, like, got bars around him.
No, the bars is the thing. When he locked himself in the lab, the cage came down, the bars came down.
Yeah.
They turned off the lights, he pulled the bars up so he could get out of the lab. Ben went into the lab, set it so that made the bars come back down, but he got out.
He's not trapped there at all?
He's not trapped, no. He stayed because he was trying to hit the button.
So then why does the doctor want to go back for him if he's not trapped?
Because he's not coming, because he's trying to hit the damn button.
See, I thought that, like, he was trapped there, and the doctor's like, oh, I have bad feelings about this. We can't actually leave him trapped there. We have to go let him out.
He's only trapped there by his own stupidity.
Oh, okay. Because,
like, the lights go, he turns the lights back on, but Ben's locked him out of his own lab.
I got
so he can't reach the button, and he runs back and he's like, no, I've got to hit that button when the timer goes down. He's like trying to reach to the bars to get to it.
That makes more sense now then, because I remember like watching it going, that feels odd.
He could have easily escaped, but he doesn't care about his life.
Right.
He's going to blow up the planet anyway.
Right. Okay. That makes more sense.
Now that we've got that all figured out, the water starts seeping in there, and he's, like, still just trying to reach that button. And this episode doesn't exist, but the footage of him trying, I guess it was cut for, you know, being too violent or whatever, sort of, I think it was censored, so that clip exists, is him reaching through and the water goes up over his head and he drowns.
Yeah.
But while he's still trying, like, he doesn't ever leave that barred area because he's still trying, even in his dying breaths.
He's still desperately trying to blow up the whole Earth.
I don't even think he knows he is trapped in that area. So, but yeah, the place gets flooded.
How did Polly and Jamie get out?
Oh, they just kept climbing through the cave systems and finally made their way out.
Until eventually they were, which is ridiculous because they were so far underwater.
That Jamie and Polly get out and Jamie's like, Dr. Ben are probably dead. So there's that. And then the Atlanteans also think the doctor is dead and they're like, well, we need to make a new temple and we'll put a stone up for the doctor.
Mm-hmm.
And then Damon of the huge eyebrows is
the
like,
priest.
Fuck religion. No more religion. No temples, no stones in the temples.
Religion literally
stupid.
Never got us anywhere. That's kind of the message of the episode.
Yeah.
Religion is bad, science is good. The end.
Well, science is bad if you want to blow up the Earth. I don't know. If anything, like, science kind of fucked them over. Was going to fuck them over. I don't entirely know why they were like, fuck
well,
religion.
Because Zeroff used religion to manipulate them.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
He was like, right. Yeah. Your stone godhead totally says I'm cool and you should let me do whatever I want. That's why he had as much power as he had, was because he was like, yeah, I just told them that my god is, you know, that their god is like cool with me doing whatever. And they were like, okay.
Everybody basically gets to the surface thinking everybody else is dead. And then it turns out none of them are dead.
But I would like to, again, say lots of people did die because they
at least one guy. There's only one confirmed death. Well, they said the one guy died.
No, they said, yeah, none of those people got out. Like, a huge chunk of people didn't get out. It was more than just one guy. I know that for a fact.
So, doctor killed some people.
Kind of.
Destroyed their home.
Kind of. I mean, it was just to keep the Earth from blowing up, but...
So... But
as
plans
go, it's not his best one.
That might be the second Doctor's thing. Terrible plans. But yeah, they all reunite and they get in the TARDIS. It disappears. The two minor guys see it happen and they're like, thanks for leaving us here on this fucking island where we don't know where we are. But hey, that was a police box. That was weird, huh?
Here's my thing.
Mm-hmm.
Did the society realize that slavery was bad?
No, I don't think so.
Just religion. We're gonna keep having slaves, though.
And we have one last scene, which is they're like, "Hey, Jamie, the doctor doesn't know how to fly this fucking thing." And they're all laughing about that, and like he doesn't know how to go anywhere. It's random. And the doctor's like, "What? I know exactly how to fly this thing. I've been fooling you all along. To Mars we go." And then he hits a button. He's like, oh, guys, I fucked up.
Guys, I broke it. It's broken now. And they're like, what did you do? And he's like, well, you're the one who made me want to, like, mess with how it is. If we just kept going randomly, this wouldn't have happened.
We're all going to die. The end. And that's it. That's the underwater menace.
That's the underwater menace.
Okay, first off, it is very nice having an episode that completely exists of the Second Doctor. I finally feel like I have more of a firm grasp of who he is. Like, I mean, we've had clips of him, little clips here and there, but like just seeing the full blown effect of him just doing, he does a lot of sort of physical comedy, just sort of going around, fucking shit up and being all, oh me? Is adorable and amazing. Him just sort of, he's very trickstery and I like it. He just goes around fucking with shit. It's adorable. As for the plot,
delightful.
As for the plot itself, it's not great. It's fun. It's a lot of fun. The dialogue's not bad. Zaroff is so stereotypical and cliched, but also kind of amazing at the same time. The actor who plays him just plays the shit out of him. He does a great job, and he's a lot of fun to watch. And him and the doctor sort of playing off of each other is also pretty amazing. And his death scene's kind of great, too. He's just gone, man. He's gone. I don't care for the fucking one-hour food thing.
God.
It's the stupidest plot point. Our food only lasts an hour. I still feel like if you ate food and it's inside you and it goes bad within an hour, that's still bad. I don't know. I have a problem with that. I have a problem with that plot point. A lot of it felt sloppy and thrown together, but Ben didn't annoy me this episode. He didn't really do much. Jamie was, we got a little bit more of Jamie, and I'm starting to dig him.
I still could use more.
Definitely still use more. But he hasn't done anything to turn me off of him like Ben does. Polly did some stupid shit this episode. Oh yeah, let him pray next to you. Yeah, there's a whole lot of just like, what? Okay, in this serial, you're just like, all right, I guess I'll just buy it so I can move on. It moves very fast. It's a lot like T. Davies episode, where you're like, what? Why? Oh, well, let's just keep going. But I enjoyed it. I had fun, and it's a fun serial. And it's like I said, it's very nice just seeing a doctor in a full episode. Two in a row. That's amazing. So, but yeah, I'd give it, I don't know, like a B+ or something.
So, two existing episodes. Fantastic. Love seeing two. He is adorable and weird, and I love him a lot. It's a shame so much of his stuff you can't see, because there's so much of how just, like, he moves and acts that's fantastic and great. Fish people. I thought they looked cool. Joe's laughing at me. I like the fish people. I like to point out when I think a costume really worked well or when they tried something very ambitious. Because a lot of times you talk about Classic Who and it's like, oh, they had crappy costumes and crappy set pieces. I like to point out when those things were really good. Even when probably by all rights they didn't have the time and like the resources to make them to make them that good. I like pointing that out. I think that's important. Like, the set pieces in Planet of Giants. Those are amazing set pieces in an era that's known for being really cheesy. So, yeah.
Well, you're talking about sets. The sets for the fish people were also really
amazing. Atlantis was pretty cool. Yeah, the fish people, the scene, I think, where they're underwater and they're all on wires. It's too long and it's a little slow, but it's really cool and very ambitious, I think.
That set looked a lot better than the multiple caves that we hit for the majority of the episode.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the plots, like, if you spend any amount of time really thinking about the plot of this episode, you're kind of like, okay, it's just kind of an episode that happened. But Zaroff's really enjoyable. The only thing I feel like I'm lacking right now as far as, like, taking this as, like, a season of Doctor Who is, like, seeing the companions do some shit. Like, we still don't have much of an idea of who Jamie is. He still hasn't gotten a lot to do. Ben and Polly don't do a lot. They're not, as far as companions go, I don't think very active.
Kind of just mostly tag along.
I don't feel like, you know, they have like real, like, you get a definitive sense of who they are.
Yeah.
I mean, like, to a point, you definitely do.
I will say, I actually kind of didn't mind Ben this serial, like, to the point where, like, there's bits where, like, that's actually all right. Like, the scene with him pretending to be the doctor's guard and everything, and they get the passcode out of him. That scene actually kind of worked. That scene
worked, and it was cute. But yeah, it seems like the doctor is, like, right where he needs to be, and, it, like, they don't know what they want to do with companions at all. They've established this amazing character in the doctor, and it's kind of like, shit, Ben and Polly are there too, I guess, and now Jamie's there. We don't know yet. We don't know yet what we're doing with them. Which, to be fair, you know, it might be because they're putting a lot of time and effort into establishing this new doctor and who he is, and maybe don't have a lot of time to be like, also, this is who Jamie is, and this is what Ben and Polly are doing. Mostly, they just, I don't know, follow each other around. So yeah, it was solid enough. It was enjoyable, despite being, you know, kind of wonky in places.
Yeah, the pace is nice, for the most part.
Yeah.
Except for, like, you know, a couple of scenes that drug a little bit, like in the wandering through caves and the underwater sequences.
What do we have coming up?
Next up, we have The Moon Base, which we got a DVD of from the library, so we'll be seeing that with its animated reconstructions.
Nice.
And it's the return of two different things, you guys. First off, it's the return of the Cybermen, and with that comes Ben Patton!
Where there are Cybermen, there is Ben Patton.
he comes along with them. It's like a package. If you like our stuff and want to check out more, go to watchyourasslon.com. We're also on Twitter at watchyourass. Please check us out on iTunes and leave like a review and rate us or whatever you do on there. Just say, hey, we like it. That's all
reviews
you gotta do.
Reviews help tremendously. Mm-hmm. By the way, so that would be cool of you.
If you want to help out in a more substantial way, you can go to watchyourassline.com/support, and there you can find a link to our Patreon, which is patreon.com/watchathon, and you can donate a monthly amount and get cool stuff like videos of us watching the episodes, videos of us recording the podcast, uncut podcast episodes, and cool stuff like that, day early, all that kind of cool jazz. And also we have an Amazon wish list where you can, purchase the DVDs and become a sponsor for a serial. And, we'll shout you out on the episode, the podcast episode, and we'll link to whatever you want us to link to. And we'll put you up on our website as a friend of Rassilon and all that cool stuff. Speaking of, we'd like to give a special shout out to Bree Castellini, who is our newest Patreon patron.
Patreon patron.
People may know her from, she's the creator and star and et cetera of Brains, the web series, which you can find at brainswebseries.com. You guys may know it because a friend of the show, Chris Cherry, co-stars and does other stuff on it as well. I want to say thanks, Bree.
Thanks.
Thanks for being a patron.
You're the best.
Thumbs up. High five. Fist pump. Anything else?
No. We did it.
We did an episode.
We finished an episode.
The Underwater Menace. Thanks, you guys. Thanks for listening. And keep it rassle awesome. Signing off. Zeroff.
See, that one's good. Bang. 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 Bang.